Psalms 137, verse number 1, said, "By the rivers of Babylon there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones." And we'll stop reading with that. This psalm is not, by all indications that I can find, I don't find an author necessarily of it. Most of the psalms we look at, we know David composed the majority of those, him and some others. But this one seemingly is a little bit different in that this is speaking of the Babylonian captivity and what happened there. And how the Jews were taken away out of their homeland, and that they loved was just ravished and just seemingly destroyed. And we know that Zion, and can I lay this thing down just a minute? I have to use this thing. You can hear me with this, can't you? We understand that Zion is symbolic of the church, don't we? Amen. And I tell you, we've had some good prelude to what the Lord had laid on my heart tonight. And I hope you can shout before it's over with. But first, I'd like to tell us where we are at Zion today. Amen. I know we have good services. I'm not here to discount anything that God is doing or has done. And the services we've enjoyed in the past, I thank God for them. Thank you, Lord. But I tell you what, we can't really fool ourselves and say that we're as a powerful of a church as what we need to be. Amen. We're still seeing some work that needs to be done in the house of God. Amen. The Bible said here, he said, they carried us away. He said, we was weeping. And he said, we hung our harps on the willows. We didn't have a song left. And he said, they was telling us, why don't you sing one of those songs of Zion? And I'm here to tell you tonight that that's exactly what Satan is saying in our day and hour. He's saying, go ahead and show me the power of the church that you say you have. Show me what it's like for people to be healed by the power of God. Show me what it's like for people to really be delivered from the hand of sin and have their lives completely changed and turned around. I tell you, the world is looking at you and I tonight, and they're saying, where is that you say you have? I tell you, we claim a high standard in the holiness ranks, and we say that we come out from among the world and live a separate life. But it's not just coming out and living a separate life in our outward appearance, but it's having the power of God being made manifest in our services, and that people are delivered by the hand of God. I tell you what made the early church the early church. We take our roots back to Azusa Street, and we like to talk about, amen, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost there, and my, must have been wonderful. Then we look back at the revivals of the 50s and how God blessed and magnified himself in those days. We heard a brother now, amen, in the service tonight, Brother Tracy, talking about 1989 and what God did then. But the further part of his testimony said, I believe God can do it right now, amen. I think back to the time that I got saved back in 1994, not too many years ago. And it seemed like every time you went in the house of God, amen, the praises was going up and the blessings was coming down. People was being saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen, the power of God was being made manifest. But now, I don't know about you, but you go to your local church and you have to press your way, amen. You have to fight, look like tooth and toenail, just to get the service to go over for a while. But I wouldn't, we of God's children tonight could band together and say, we're not sitting on the sidelines any longer. It's time for us to rise to the occasion and sing the songs of Zion again and say, God, do it again. Amen. Do it again. Amen. I think about a lot of times, sometimes I just sit back and reminisce about the old times. Amen. In my life, I was talking to a brother that come down with us to visit down here. I was speaking to him about a place I used to work. And I was telling him what a fellow used to do. And I said, yeah, that was the good old days. Amen. I ain't but 31, but I still think there was some good old days, you know. Brother Ed, I don't have many problems compared to a lot of people, but sometimes I get to having a pity party and thinking, my, I feel like Elijah sometime when he went over there and hid out in the cave and he said, you know what? I'm the only one left. Here I have. I went to Mount Carmel. I preached the revival and look what God done. Amen. Now Jezebel's got a warrant out on me and she's seeking my life. I believe I'm just going to go over here and see if I can escape from my life and hide out a while. I believe there's some of us tonight that have hid out for a while. Too long. Hey, we ain't the only knots on the log, folks. Amen. Amen. I appreciate Calvary Holiness. I appreciate the Pentecostal Fair Baptized back at home. I appreciate Brother Tracy's fellowship that he's involved with there. I appreciate anybody that lives and teaches the Holy Word of God. Amen. But the enemy would like to isolate you and I and say, my, there's nobody really lives it like that anymore. Nobody really preaches a standard anymore. Nobody really comes out, amen, and separates himself anymore. You might as well hang your harp on the willow. That's all in bygone days, amen. But I would we could have a revival of holy living again. A revival of a Pentecostal experience again. I tell you what, when God got done with Elijah, he got up off of his face and realized, my, there's 7,000 over there that's never even bowed the knee to Baal. There's 7,000 there that's never kissed his image, amen. I tell you, there's souls all over this world today. There's some in China and Africa and wherever you want to name that's living according to God's holy law. We're not the only ones struggling by. God has still got a people. He's always had a people, and he always will have a people, amen. He always will. But the devil says, show me what you got now. Show it to me. Amen. Brother Jim, you might have went, should have went ahead, brother. You made it rolling. Amen. Well, let me tell you like it is today. America, amen, let's just bring it down to something we can identify with. Let's look back for a little while in your mind. Some of you elders can maybe look back further. Think about what's transpired just in the last 50 years in America today. Amen. I know it's quiet, but maybe you're listening to me. I mean, we see that it's just common knowledge now for abortion to be talked about just as a byword. It's just a common thing. And so much that almost 50 million, innocent children's lives have been taken right here in America. It's become common knowledge now for so-and-so to be found, amen, with their companion out of wedlock. Used to, that was frowned on. Amen, but yeah, they're shacked up together, use that term. It's common knowledge now for a man and woman to be married 2, 3, 4 times. I don't know how many there are now. I mean, it's just common in these day and hour. I mean, but it used to be a reproach. Amen. There was a time, amen, that we preached and taught the Word of God and we didn't care, amen, who was caught in that situation. We weren't necessarily trying to beat anybody over the head, but we sure weren't going to slight what God's law commanded. But the Bible said in the last days they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, be turned away from the truth and turned to fables, amen. He said they'd be, amen, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. We got the form, we've got the, amen, the fame, if you want to call it that. I'm speaking in general terms, don't get me wrong tonight. Amen, we've got more worship centers throughout this land than we've ever had. We've got more people claiming they've got an experience with God probably than we've ever had. We've got more people involved in local churches than we ever had. We've got more flyerful sermons preached than we ever had. Amen, we've got all look like the sketch of things out there, but the meat of it, I'm afraid, is falling by the wayside. We don't have anything in a general sense, amen, this world today that will promise and fulfill that promise to deliver that soul from sin. We've turned to the drug rehabilitation centers rather than the hand of God. All right. Amen. We've turned to man's devices and man's ability rather than depending on Almighty God. Amen. When we get sick, what do? We immediately go looking at the medicine cabinet. I'm the first one guilty. I'll stand right here and tell you tonight. Amen. When things go wrong, we don't call so-and-so and say, I want you to pray. Amen. Right off the top. But we say, my, what can I do? But I would we can get to the place in the day and hour that we're living in. We could forget about self and what self desires and say, God, what do you require of me? What can I do to worship you? God, work a miracle in my life that you might be glorified.
John the Baptist said, I've got to decrease, but he's got to increase. Well, the only way to get God to increase is for you to decrease. We need to forget about I, and me. And we need to say, God, help the church. God, help my family. God, help somebody. I tell you, when we get rid of self and sacrifice self on the altar and get God first and foremost in our lives, that's when we're going to see him high and lifted up. But not until then. If I treated my wife like some people treat God, we'd have a bad time. We'd have a bad time. Walk in the house, never say a word. Never say a word. Just start plundering through the cabinets. She say something to me, never say a word. And then finally, when it's supper time, where's the food? You ain't got it done. Sit down and eat and get done eating and say, well, you hurry and get these dishes done. Maybe we can do something else. She wouldn't last that long, Brother Ed. You know my wife, don't you? Amen. She might be short, but she ain't going to take nothing. Oh, she'd say, this ain't happening. But you see, I'm afraid sometimes we go through our life. Never a thought of God, never a thought of his holy word, never a thought about in prayer. And finally we make it to the house of God and we stumble in and we say, boy, sure I'm tired tonight. I hope he don't put us to sleep again with that same old stuff he's been preaching for the last 4 weeks. I wish he'd come up with something new to preach. I tell you, if the congregation would get more revived by the hand of God, maybe the preacher wouldn't have to work so hard to put it out there, amen. But I tell you, it's hard when you're trying to shoulder the harness and encourage yourself and encourage everybody else all at the same time. It's like trying to juggle things, and I've never been good at that. But what we need is God in heaven to reach down, amen, to move among us. Amen. I heard somebody praying back here a while ago, and he said, Lord, breathe on us. I would that God would do that as Jesus did, and the Holy Ghost of God would be rekindled in our hearts and lives, and so much that we'd go away and say, I never saw it on that fashion before. Never saw it like that. Amen. But I'm afraid, you know, we've been bad, and I'll say we. Notice I'm using we. Well, the nominal churches, Brother Jim, they've got everything sketched out. The man knows what he's going to preach. You know, they know what song they're going to sing, and they give you a little handout when you go in. It's kind of like a funeral service. You know everything that's going to happen before it happens. You know, and we say, well, it shouldn't be that way. Ain't that what we all say? But if we're not careful, we get in those ruts ourselves. And we may not print it out on the paper and hand it to you at the door, but we know what's going to happen. So-and-so is going to sing after so-and-so does, and when they get done, we're going to have request prayer. We're going to pray for maybe 10 minutes. Then we're going to get up, and the man of God's going to preach for hopefully 20 minutes, and we get out here before 12, and then we'll come back Sunday night and do that little ritual. But where's God at in all of that? Hey, Jim warned you before I got up here. Amen. Where's God at in all that? I tell you what we need to do. Amen. I tell you some of the best messages God's ever laid on my heart. I didn't even know what I was going to say till I walked in the pulpit and opened up the Word of God. Amen. He changed my mind completely, and I just read one scripture. My, look what the Lord done. Amen. I ain't going to leave us where we're at right here tonight. You just bear with me for a little while. Amen. What I'm trying to paint a picture of where we're at in this thing. America the beautiful. Amen. That's on her way to hell, I'm afraid. Amen. And who is the one that we look to? We look to the church. Amen. We look to the church to say, God, was it Daniel when he was there, even in the captivity, and he saw what was happening, and he bowed himself in prayer, and he didn't say, God, they the ones that done it. He said, God, we have sinned. We the ones that have committed this horror. We brought it on ourselves, God. But God, if you'd look down on us in mercy, if you'd somehow smile on us again and get us out of this bondage that we're in, God, have mercy on our souls. That's what it's going to take in 2012 is the church of God rising up and saying, God, we know we've got some problems, but we're saying, God, would you restore that beauty of Zion again? Let us see it in that wonderful habitation that only you would dwell in. Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Hey, guys, said it like this. He said, who saw this house in its first glory? And how do you see it now? Said when they dedicated one particular place, when they began to minister, said some of them began to rejoice because they ain't never seen God do what God's doing. But he said some of the elders that had seen, amen, what God had done in the past, said they mourned and they wept because they realized this wasn't like it was originally. I tell you what, there's some young people coming up, I can say myself included, I've never saw the blue haze of the Holy Ghost of God that some of you elders can testify to. I've never seen, amen, divine healing that maybe somebody, you know, that was couldn't walk or whatever, and God straightened the leg out. Like, I've never seen that before. Amen, I've seen God heal. God's healed me before. But the visualization, I've never seen that. We've got a lot of young people, we're not careful, and a few generations from now, they're going to look back on the holiness ranks, and they're going to say, what are you talking about? I've never seen that. I'm thinking of a family right now not far from us at the house. Granny and Grandpa lived it straight, strict, and true. And my, they seen the power of God move. But their children didn't grab a hold of it and go with it. And now the grandchildren, they don't even have one iota of what holiness is about. They don't have a clue of what it's like for God to convict their lives and see the Holy Ghost move in a service. It's foreign to them. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, amen, we get comfortable, we get satisfied where we are. Amen. But I tell you what, those Jews that was in the Babylonian captivity, they weren't satisfied. They wasn't content to sit there, amen, and do, amen, the things they were doing. Amen. The elders, the Bible said, it ceased from the gate. The young men ain't playing music anymore. The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Amen.
Come on.
Praise God.
Come on.
Praise the Lord.
Come on.
I like to preach his messages. Makes people happy. Somebody said today, preach me happy. But I tell you what, until we get the foundation right, amen, we need a pause. We need a pause. You take the most beautiful house you want to think about, and you go in, they got fine furniture from all over from Arabia for all that goes. And they ain't got the foundation right, and the storms come. Jesus himself said it. And all of a sudden, you go down in the basement, and you're going to have your little get-together, and you start looking around, and the mold's crept in, and the cracks is in the foundation, and the water's running in. And he said, my goodness, folks, what are you doing here? Quit spending your money on all these fancy things here. Let's fix the problem. You see, I'm afraid we're too worried about the shout in the service. We go to church, are we going to shout or not? Well, when we get it right, we are. But not until then. Until then, we're going to have a season of prayer. And as my daddy said, when I do something, amen, bad back in the day, he said, we're going to have a heart-to-heart talk, son. I'm afraid that's what the saints of God need to do sometimes. You see, you can fool me and I can fool you, but we can't fool God anymore. And we can shout over things, we can praise God over things, but the problem ain't going anywhere until we say, God, I'm the one. He said here, Lord, if I forget thee, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I don't remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. God, don't let me forget what it's like to know you in the free pardon of sin, amen, in the clean life called holiness. What did old timers say? Holiness or we ain't forgot, have we? Holiness or hell. It's that simple. It's that simple. Put it all on the altar, every bit of it, and come to God's terms, or you ain't going. God ain't sitting here saying, well, let's work out a deal. I might could come off of the commandment there, you know, and I'm afraid we've explained so much away with innocent party phrases and all kind of little cliches that we've got in there, you know, that makes everybody feel okay, Brother Jim. But God's word ain't changed. The Bible said it is forever settled in the heavens. When he said, thou shalt not, thousands of years ago, it still means thou shalt not. God ain't changed it for me. God ain't changed it for you. And I don't care if God carries this, I mean, tarries this coming for another 100 years, it still ain't going to change. Never going to change. But he said this. When he saw where he was, I believe I've got us where we're at, don't you? Can you see where we are? But when he saw where he was, he said in his mind, in my own words, there's still hope somewhere. He said, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom. Amen. In the day of Jerusalem, who said, race it, even to the, take it all the way down to the foundation. But he said, it ain't going to be that way for long. He said, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed. You see, God's going to have a pure, holy church. We can either be a part of it or not. But God's going to have His church. I can either shape up, or the old cliche is, ship out. But God is going to have a pure, holy church. Amen. It may be a few. Jesus said it would be. Few there be that find it. My. But we can be some of those few. We can be some of the ones where Cyrus it was that looked out, amen, at the Jews that was in captivity. And he said, the God of heaven has spoke to me. And he said, I believe it's time to make some changes. This heathen king was spoken to by God. Amen. It wasn't long till Nehemiah goes out there and he sees the wall and the ruin it's in. And he said, my, I want permission to go out there and build this wall again. And I wonder how many of us tonight's willing to take the challenge to build the wall again.
Come on.
It's going to take prayer. It's going to take fasting. Not feasting, but fasting. It's going to take denying ourselves and taking up the cross and following Jesus. Amen. Brother Jim said the Lord showed him that field white into the harvest. It's still there. But you see, I'm afraid it's like, and as I begin to come down and visit in this area, and all this stuff around here was foreign to me, and I look over in those fields, and they look pretty white, and I tell my wife, I said, look at that. The combine's already been through. But mine look like there's a lot of cotton still in that field. She said, well, it ain't worth the fuel and the time for them to crank up the combine and go back through there again. They make it through it one time, that's the harvest. And I'm afraid there's some of us in this day and hour, we've looked at what it's going to take and we said, you know what? It ain't worth my time. It ain't worth my resources. Brother Jim, I ain't going to knock on no more doors. They don't want it in. I ain't going to go to church and try to push that service over no more. They're going to sit there and stare at me anyway. I'm not going to try to sing anymore. It looked like last time I tried to sing, nobody told me how good it was anyway. Amen. But Jeremiah got in that place one time. He said, I ain't going to preach again. He said, they ain't listening to a word I said. Look like they ain't changing at all. I'm just going to hush. I'm going to sit back. I ain't going to say anything. But he got to thinking about it. And he got to burning. And he said, wait a minute. I got to say something. I can't hold it in. Brother Jim, when I start singing songs like I was singing a while ago, it doesn't matter if my voice sounds as rough as a cob. When God lets me feel what I felt when I was singing, He's going to be with me all the way. Brother Ed, I'm going to keep singing it, amen. You just have to bear with me because I have got a fire that's shut up in my bones, Brother Jim. I see what it's going to take. And God has impressed upon me in these latter days that we're going to have to rise to the occasion and say, God, do it again, amen. What's it going to take for you to get in this? The United States said in the late 30s and 40s, we ain't getting involved in war no more. We've had enough. World War I was bad enough. We don't want that again. But when them Japanese snuck that attack, amen, on Pearl Harbor, it changed their minds. And he said, you know what? We're not only going to get in this, we're going to win this. And there's some of you tonight that sat back. Amen. You've grown cold in God and you said, I don't know if there's any point in it or not. But I would that God would light a fire in your life. And you could see the seriousness of the situation. And you'd rise up and put on the armor one more time. And go forth and fight for God one more time. And just see what God would do. Amen. Jonathan was standing there and he's looking over in the Philistines. And his armor bearer is with him. He said, well. He said, maybe we could go up there and put them to flight. He said, it's nothing to God whether he's saved by many or by few. And God said, go ahead, I'll give them to you. And Jonathan went over there and God gave him the hand of the enemy right there. I tell you, that's what we need to do in this day and hour, is say, God, I believe you. Now I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Amen. We've got some elders here. Brother Archie's with us tonight. Brother Sellers with us tonight. Some of the others that I don't know their names. Amen. But I've heard names mentioned as I come around these services and these churches down around here. Brother Harold, other saints of God. And I've heard people say, my, I wish you could have heard Brother Harold preach. Amen. And it seems like, I'm thinking about, amen, some of them back home. Amen. And they don't necessarily have some great oration. Their period may not be at the sentence like it needs to be. And my, they may not lay it out and put it so colorful like some people can. But one thing they do have is the anointing of God on their lives. Amen. They don't necessarily have everything wrote down and lined out of what they're going to say, Brother Jim. But they say, God, whatever you speak to me, that's what I'm going to speak to them. And I would that we could get back to the place to lose some of this formality that we've got into and say, God, why don't you do something new in our presence? Why can't we get rid of a little bit of this starch that's come upon us and get loose in God and let God move again? Amen. You see, there's coming a day like this. The Bible said, he that's holy is going to be holy still. He that's unjust, he's going to be unjust still. He that's filthy is going to be filthy still. Amen. How many of you believe that the door of the Gentile age is coming to a close? I mean, I trust we know about how God turned from the Jews and said, I'll go to the Gentiles, and we've enjoyed that for a number of years now. But we also know that the Bible said he would turn back to the Jew. Don't we believe that? Amen. And we know we are the Gentiles, but we have been grafted in contrary to nature. But God in his goodness has adopted us, and we can be joint heirs with Christ. Ain't that good news?
Yes.
But as good as that is, that door of mercy is swiftly coming to a close. And we'll not enjoy services like these much more. Amen. And that God is stretching out his hands and saying, come unto me. Come unto me. You see, folks, it's a limited time offer. My wife heard something on the radio the other day, and something about the lottery. I trust none of you participate. Amen. But they were saying that they had 180 days to claim so many $1 million. My wife was kind of waxing natural in this. She said, well, wouldn't it be bad for somebody to come up at the 181st day and realize they missed it by a day? All those millions? And I said, well, yeah. You know? I mean, I don't need to say a whole lot about the lottery. But what I'm saying is, wouldn't it be bad for you to finally make up your mind? You know what? I'm going to get in this thing. I'm going to get in this thing. I've made up my mind. Brother Ed, I'm going to do it. I mean, we hitch our britches up and we come into the house of God and say, we're going to do it this time. But God says, you're too late.
Come on.
Now, if you'd come last week, I was ready. But you're too late. Go ahead and go serve those ones that you've been serving. Stand to your feet tonight. You see, my daddy said it a while ago, do you believe that the Lord is really coming back?
Yes.
We ought to be praying, even so come, Lord Jesus. You're shaking the world's in.
Yes.
But if we really believe he's coming back, then we have to believe the scripture that he said, blessed is that servant whom his Lord when he cometh shall find so doing. He said, but if that wicked servant will say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, shall begin to eat and drink and, amen, and take a part of this riotous living, He said the Lord of that servant will come upon him on a day that he looketh not for him, and an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And my littlest boy just figured out he can bite you. And he's got his older brother. He showed me a place on his arm. He said, look at there, what Carter done. I said, my goodness, son. Bite you. But I want you to picture yourself in a pit that's eternally black. Not only are you burning and you can't quench yourself, but people's biting on you. The Bible said it was a bottomless pit, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But you that know God, he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He said the first heaven and the first earth, he said, were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Ain't nothing more beautiful, is there? I got a picture of my wife in her wedding dress. Got it in my billfold right now if you want to see it. I mean, she's something now. Amen. And when God looks at his church and he sees us doing what he has to do, he rubs his hands together with delight and says, they're doing just what I want them to do. I'm so excited about that. I mean, I'm trying to teach my boy things, and when I see it clicking in his mind, I just get excited. I say, that's it, son. You're understanding what I'm telling you. And I say, go ahead and try some more of that. And God's in heaven and he's looking down on you and I and he's saying, my, they're really serious about this. They're really wanting to go to heaven. Maybe I could encourage them a little bit to step on a little bit higher. I tell you what, folks, if we're going to be able to enjoy the tabernacle of God that's with men, have him wipe the tears away from our eyes. Somebody get us a song right here tonight. Brother Tony, somebody. Amen. And hear him say, amen, that we can live and reign with him 1,000 years, and then after that's over with, we can dwell with him throughout all eternity. It's going to be a blessed hope. You and I know this. I'm going to come to a close. I'd like to give you a chance to pray. I made mistakes in my life. Have you ever made any? I mean, I made natural mistakes. I took a test one time. And I mean, I just absolutely hit the wrong button on the calculator. Instead of cosine, I hit sine. Whole problem's wrong. That 100 I wanted was just gone. It's impossible. For one error. I made some spiritual mistakes in my life. Have you?
Come on.
But I'm glad that God gives us an opportunity. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We don't need to do that. But God provided us a way. God provided us help. You may be here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, but you've grown cold and indifferent. And you're really just trying to figure out what's the point anymore. Amen. It's more than shouting. I love to shout. Brother Ed, I actually shouted a shoe heel off one time. Really did. Lost it right there in front of the church. No, sir. I didn't laugh that time. I was on the power of God. Amen. But I can testify to that. I love it, Brother Jim.
Come on.
I mean, mine. There's nothing like shouting. I tell you what's more important than that is knowing that your name is written in heaven. The disciples went out and they did a few works and they came back and they said, man, the devil's this subject to us. Look at this stuff, man. Look at here. Jesus said, wait a minute. Don't rejoice over that. He said, but rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's the most blessed thing you can ever hope to ever attain in this life. I may never make it to be a PhD or whatever other thing that a lot of people have. And if you have that, God bless you. I respect you. But I know that my name's in the Book of Life.
Yes.
I know that. I know that. And you can know it too. Brother Tony, sing when you're ready, brother. I want to give you just a few minutes to think about this thing. You know, it wasn't too many years ago that I was laying in the hospital, and I'm not going to get into a deep discussion about it. You know about it. I'm not one of those persons that just, every time you see me, that's what I want to tell you about. But I remember laying there in the intensive care, and things wasn't looking right. Things wasn't looking good. Things wasn't progressing like they needed to be. And here I am laying there, 28 years old, thought I had my whole life ahead of me, Brother Ed. But right then, it wasn't looking too promising. And I remember being discouraged a little bit there, but I remember leaning on a promise God gave me. One of the deacons from the church come. I was doing real bad at a particular time. Couldn't really talk. They had a big oxygen mask on me, high-flow oxygen going into me. I couldn't really carry on conversation. But I was laying in the bed. Couldn't get down on my knees. Couldn't do nothing but pray in my mind. That's all I could do. Move my arms a little bit, Brother Ed. But in come Brother Kenny. He didn't say a word. Maybe he said, Brother. Brother Jim, and he reached his hand out like that. And Brother Ed, I reached my hand over to his. And when that hand reached into mine, I felt the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost in such a wonderful way. And I knew, I resigned myself that if it's now or another 50 years, right here's what it's all about. This is what it's about. To know that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's fixed. It's settled. I'm saved. Amen. And if you can't say that tonight 100%, you need to be in this altar right now. And you need to be begging God to give you assurance. I've often thought, and I've tried my best to come up with all kind of analogies about the shortness of life and my how fragile it is and this, that, and the other. And you've heard other preachers try to paint the picture about, you know, you need to be saved now. You're not promised tomorrow. I don't have any other analogy to tell you. But I believe there's situations going on right now around you that ought to bear in mind and bear record of the fragile nature of life. You're here one day, Brother Ed, but you're gone the next one. The Bible said like this, you're like the grass of the field. You come up, it said the sun comes out, and you wither, and you're gone. You young people now that have got the strength of youth, I had it too. I had it too. But in a matter of just about a week's time, Brother, I was flat on my back of the hospital. So just because it's going good for you right now, ain't no sign it's going to be going good for you tomorrow. And I'm not here to try to scare you, but in another way, I am trying to scare you. You know why I tell my boy that snakes are terrible and they're horrible and my, look at them fangs. Boy, ain't he ugly. Don't he look horrible? Oh, he's just slimy and slippery, and my, he'll hurt you, and he'll do all kind of bad things. Stay away from them things. I'm trying to put the fear of snakes in him. I don't want him going out there and toying around with them things, getting bit and maybe dying. That's what I'm telling you tonight. Hell is horrible. It's horrible. And if you go there, you wish a thousand times you could come back and hear this jackleg preacher tonight try to tell you about what thus saith God. But it'd be too late then. It'd be too late. Amen. While the saints of God is coming, maybe you're at the place that you don't want to be a spectacle, but if the saints of God would come, and if you that are here tonight that need God to save your soul or to rekindle that desire, if you'd gather in amongst these, I'm sure and I can promise you that God himself will meet you, that you'll be able to bless God in a little while and say, thank God that God saved me. God does not call you if he didn't want to save you. And I want you to have this opportunity to pray tonight.